want to be a partner with Christ? Do you want to be motivated by the spiritual blessings that He offers? I know that I do, and I hope you do too. That's what we're going to discuss in today's episode of this wonderful series that we've been in called Hebrews Partners with Christ. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. We've been blessed to have Dr. Kenneth Yates in the studio with us for the entirety of this series. He's written a book by the same title. It's been wonderful to have him with us on this journey. Let's jump right into today's topic. Here's our Grace in Focus discussion.
Welcome back to Grace in Focus. We're wrapping up this series on Hebrews, although I say that, but we probably have another week to go. There's just so much to get into here. And if you want to learn more, be sure to pick up a copy of Ken's book, Hebrews Partners with Christ, because he gets into more detail than what we can get into here in this show. But here we are in chapter 12, and we're going to start at verse 12. Here's what it says. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. I like this expression, strengthen the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees. What does that mean? Is that an encouragement to self-discipline, or what is it?
Well, I think this brings up a topic we really haven't spent a lot of time in this series on, and that is, as the author is talking about running the race, we need to understand that as believers, we don't have a responsibility just for ourselves, but we have a responsibility for those that we fellowship with, that we worship with. We are in a community of believers. We've already seen in chapter 10, the author of Hebrews says, let's meet together, let's encourage one another. And I think he's picking up that theme again here. We have a responsibility to help those who are, in the words of the author here, who have weak hands and they're having problems with their knees and the paths that they are walking on. We can be an encouragement to others. If we are living a godly life, we can be an example for them to follow. And I think by our actions and by encouraging others, we can strengthen others. And so when we make our own path straight, we help others who are walking in their own Christian race, if you will.
That's great. And you sure see that in the family.
Yes.
I mean, if the parents are following the Lord, it makes it so much easier for their children. But if the parents are off the path and they're not following the Lord, it makes it harder for their children.
Yes, and I think the problem that we have when we come to passages like this is we have a tendency to think of the Christian walk in individualistic terms. How am I doing? You know, am I pleasing the Lord? But what the author intersperses in these verses is, no, we have a responsibility to others. How are they doing? I think that's what the author is primarily talking about here.
Verse 14, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord.
Oh, now there's a big one. We get emails all the time.
You know, I'd like to read widely, and they always use this verse as a verse to say, listen, you need experiential holiness or else you're going to go to hell when you die.
Yeah, and of course, that completely ignores everything we've been talking about in the book of Hebrews.
Right.
But one issue that comes up right now is the word people is not in the Greek. It simply says pursue peace with all. My opinion is he's talking about fellow believers here within the body of Christ. I think the author, it's pretty clear, is talking about pursuing holiness so that either we can see the Lord at work in us and others can see him, because that's just what he talked about, being an encouragement to others. Others can see the Lord at work in our lives and we can see him at work.
Well, some of the people, when we get emails, sometimes they're concerned that this is saying what Sean was talking about. If you don't have enough experiential holiness, you're not going to be in the kingdom. You're going to be in the lake of fire. It's interesting, even John MacArthur, if you look at what he's written on this verse, John MacArthur says this refers to seeing the Lord in the lives of other believers in our local assemblies.
Okay.
So it's not just free grace people that see this. There are Lordship Salvation people that see this as well. Like you say, Ken, in the context, it's hard not to see this as saying that we're going to pursue holiness so that others and we ourselves can see the Lord. You know, it's like John 1:18, no one has seen God at any time, but his only begotten Son has revealed him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when we're like the Son, we're revealing the Father to that degree.
Yes, and I think also of 1 John, for example, no one has seen the Father. If God is love and no one sees the Father, well, how can we show others the Father? Well, if we love our fellow believers in Christ, and if God is love, then others see him.
And this command, we should pursue holiness. Earlier, we were described as sanctified, and we said that that's probably an equivalent for salvation for him.
Sure, justification right now.
Right, but here it's now, this is pursue holiness. This is definitely pursue this experiential kind of sanctification. This
yes, and it is a different word, too, yeah. as well, right.
And the peace is corporate, too. You were talking right. about the corporate aspect of this?
Yes. In this context, he's talking about that when we run the race, we run it in some sense as a body. And certainly, if I'm going to be an encouragement to others within the body of Christ, I need to be at peace with them. But notice, I also want to say, it's not peace at all costs. We're also to pursue holiness. So it's not like, well, my fellow believer is committing this gross sin, but I'm like, oh, I just want to be at peace with him, so I'm not going to say anything. No, we pursue holiness.
One of the criticisms we often get as preachers of grace, preachers of, you know, that we're saved by faith apart from works, is that we're promoting licentiousness. We're promoting people sinning. If you tell people that salvation is a gift, you're going to teach them to just live like the devil. That's always bizarre to me because I see us as being on the holiness side of things where we actually think people should progress in holiness and become more and more holy in their living.
It's interesting when I teach overseas, this is a particularly big problem because many places overseas, the idea of once saved, always saved is just anathema. And I always get accused of that when I bring it up. And they go, well, if you believe that, you're going to be a drug addict and you're going to cheat on your wife and you're going to rob people. And I said, well, I don't do those things.
But I can see how some grace teachers put all the emphasis on like an evangelistic message and then never give any type of Christian living message where they should be emphasizing the importance of laying aside sin and laying aside things that ensnare us and pursue holiness.
Yeah, just here, notice how simple that is. Pursue holiness in order to see the Lord. Well, however we interpret that, seeing the Lord, others seeing him, or I see him at work in my life, or even if we say those who follow Christ will have a clearer vision of the Lord in the world to come, even if that's what he's talking about, that's highly motivational. If my Heavenly Father is completely holy, I want to be like him.
Right.
I mean, that's a great motivation. You don't have to say, well, if you're not, you're going to go to hell.
Verse 15, and this is another controversial verse, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Well, how can you fall short of the grace of God? Again, does that mean losing your salvation?
I'm sure some would take it that way, but in Hebrews, I think what he's talking about there is the grace that is available to us with Christ as our high priest. If we do not take advantage of these things, we can fall short of that grace. And as a result of that, as he calls it, a root of bitterness can spring up, causing problems. When I am not walking as I should, and I'm not encouraging others to walk as they should by my example and by my encouragement to them, then one of us can be of a root of bitterness and cause other people to stumble. I think that's what he's talking about.
Yeah, notice the corporate aspect you've been talking about.
Yes.
It says here, many can become defiled.
I'm just convinced I'm one of those people. It's hard for me to think corporately. And so the author of Hebrews, I believe, is talking about that here.
Well, you know, one thing, if you speak at a church or if you speak on the radio or if you write, personally, I feel a special burden to walk with the Lord because if we fall, lots of people who disagree with us are going to say, see, this kind of theology leads
yes.
to immorality. It leads them to drug abuse. It leads them to be alcoholics. It leads them to this, that, or the other. And so, you know, to whom much is given, much is required. I think we've been given an awful lot. And so I feel that burden of being faithful to Christ, like you said, not just for me, but for the people who are listening, the people who are reading, the people who hear me when I'm preaching at church. You know what I mean?
Sure. If you fall, Bob, you're going to be a discouragement to a lot of people. And that's exactly what the author of Hebrews is saying.
And that's true of all of us, whether we're on the radio or whether it's just our own family. We all impact lots of people.
Verse 16, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterwards, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, and he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. So now this is talking about Esau losing the blessing, not eternal life and going to hell or going to heaven. There's a blessing that's at stake here.
Yes, when you hear people talk about the book of Hebrews, they will often point to Esau and say, well, that's an example of someone who really wasn't saved, or he lost his salvation, he couldn't get it back. And they even go back to chapter 6 where they say it's impossible to renew them again to repentance. But notice, Esau repents. Esau does repent here. Mm-hmm. First off, he just says, let there not be a fornicator, which is an immoral person, nor a profane person. Profane there is someone who does not care about spiritual things. And that's what Esau was. He was someone who had the right of the firstborn. He was going to inherit the blessing through whom the Messiah was going to come, through whom all the nations were going to be blessed. But he did not value this, and he sold it for a meal. And man, does that fit the context of Hebrews. These people were in danger of not valuing being co-heirs with Christ, of having that inheritance in the kingdom. And this is what the author is warning him about. And he says that when he sold the birthright, even though he sought it with tears, he found no room for repentance. Let me just say, repentance from Isaac. He wanted the blessing back, but Isaac, his father, would not repent and give him the blessing that he gave to Jacob. And the issue there is that if a person, in this case, sells his birthright by apostasy, there comes a point where he cannot receive it back. Now, is he talking about in this life? Or is he talking about the judgment seat of Christ? We can debate that, but that's the issue that here. Value the spiritual rewards that God is offering the faithful believer.
Ken, that's a terrific point. And again, it's pointing us to this theme we've seen over and over in the book of Hebrews, this inheritance. He failed to inherit the blessing. All of us, there's a blessing for us, both in this life and in the life to come, to be sharers with Christ, to be partners with Christ. And so continue to be faithful to Christ and to, as part of your family and your church family and the people around you, continue to encourage and help others so that we can together be people who become partners with Christ.
Thank you, Bob and Sean, and a special thanks to Dr. Kenneth Yates for giving us so much of his time and effort in discussing the book of Hebrews. Now, you may want to go back and listen through this series. That is possible, that is easy to do by going to our website, faithalone.org. You can get access to any one of our previous episodes on our website or through podcast on either iTunes or Stitcher. Please take advantage of those free resources. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, we've made it to the end of what I hope has been a wonderful week. I hope you enjoy your weekend, and we'll be back with you on Monday with another episode of Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until then, let's keep Grace in Focus.